Our scripture comes from the fourth chapter of John. Jesus had to travel through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, sat down at the well. It was about 6 in the evening. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. "Give me a drink," Jesus said to her, for his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" she asked him. "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would give you living water."
I believe this is your last day with us. I can honestly say I've never known anyone quite like you, and I wish that you would reconsider and not go. But you've been a tireless worker. I've heard you described as a hummingbird on caffeine. So that seems to be pretty descriptive.
Backing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. Can't believe the hopes He's granted. Means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone. 'Cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. Our friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them, and the friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And with the faith and love God's given, springing from the hope we know, we will pray the joy you live in is the strength that now you show. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long. To live as friends. God bless you, Mikey.
Tell me the story. That I've never heard. Pray that I might come to cherish God's loving heart and His word. Tell how He bears all my sorrows, trade them for comfort. Tell how He loves without measure. Tell me so I can believe. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story.
being a seeker like Jesus. Now, certainly we ought to invite people to be seekers. We ought to invite people, as Jesus did, to come to Him. He said, "Come unto Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." But we should also go to them and be like Him, a seeking Savior. Well, what can we learn about His seeking? There are three vital aspects of the seeker's life. If we would be like Jesus, then we need to be like Him in seeking after people as He did. Well, what can we learn? Well, first of all, we can learn about His walk. Here it says that He had to go through Samaria. Now, He didn't have a car. They didn't have cars then. I don't even think they had chariots. So I suppose if He had transportation, we know one time at least He rode a donkey. But usually He walked. This was the customary mode of transportation. I kind of like Ed here. He walks everywhere here in town. But you don't walk to Canby or Likely, do you? Not recently. But that was a long journey to Samaria. He didn't really have to. Now, it says He had to. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But He walked. And I think the walk is the symbol of life. Sometimes we may run. Sometimes we may, when we're born, we just, first of all, kind of creep along on all fours. And then finally we, can toddle and then walk. But the walk of the Christian is his passing through life. And if we just pass through life, then we're not really walking like Jesus. We need to have, first of all, a commitment. Jesus was committed. And He was committed to a commission. He stated it later in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where He said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And so He told us to go. Well, here He set the example. We need to follow His example, to be committed to people. That's what was on the heart of Jesus. It wasn't that he wanted to see some sights there in Samaria or that he maybe wanted to do some shopping or other things that we might like to do. But He went there because He had an appointment to keep with this woman at the well. And there was a commitment in His life to people. That's what made Him different. That's what made people want to come to Him, because they knew that He accepted them, that He loved them. And there was no one like Jesus. Well, we need to be about His business, don't we? And to be committed as He was committed in our walk. We need to be compassionate. Jesus was motivated by compassion. This is what sets Him apart from other doers of good deeds. Many times in the Bible we read about how Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, I don't know whether you felt anything when you watched the video here. We showed that a couple months ago, I think. But it just really moved me when I first saw it, and it still does. Thinking about the need of people. You can just see it in their eyes. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what their ethnicity, what their religion, who they are, where they live. Jesus came to die for them. This woman was a Samaritan. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But He had great compassion upon her because she was one of those that He came for, that He came to die for. Now, He hadn't died yet, but He would. He looked forward to that time that He would die on the cross for her sins. And so He was committed. He was compassionate. We can't be like Him if we're going to be hard-hearted. I think what we need to do is, if we sense that there's a hardness of heart and we have hatred there and resentment and prejudice, as many of the Jews did towards Samaritans, you know that, then God is not going to use us to win many people, if any, to Him. So we need to ask, don't we, to have the compassion that Jesus had. And then we need to be compelled. Here it says, He must needs go through Samaria. That's the King James Version. This just says He had to go through Samaria. Well, we don't maybe understand that. Except that maybe we think Samaria lied in between Judea and Galilee, where Jesus was from. But I don't think that that really explains why Jesus had to go. I think He had to go there because there was a holy oughtness about doing His Father's will. And about seeking after lost sinners. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." So we need to be like Him in our walk. Well, His walk. But also, I want us to notice His word. And note about His word. Now, He did speak words here, didn't He? Yes, thank you. He did. He said, for example, "Will you give me a drink?" That was really a question. My Bible has that in red. I don't know whether you have a red letter version, but these are the actual words that Jesus spoke. Now, it doesn't mean that the other isn't the Word of God. It is all the Word of God. And Jesus said, I am the one who spoke these words. I'm the one who inspired them. It's all His Word, but He did speak words here to this woman. He spoke about water, for example. People are thirsty. We sang that song, "Let Your Holy Rain Fall Down." That's kind of dry here, isn't it, even for Modoc at this time of the year. So I think maybe we really feel that, you know, that feeling that we're in a time of drought. Well, maybe you may feel that spiritually. I think this woman felt it in her heart. I think she felt that dryness, that kind of a silent cry from her heart for the rain to fall upon her life. And maybe she didn't even know really what she was asking. But I think about what the Scripture says in Isaiah 55, verse 1. God says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come ye to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Jesus wanted to satisfy her thirst. He wants to satisfy your thirst. And maybe you feel that dryness in your life, that drought, and you're asking God, send your holy rain upon my life. Well, I'm not sure that woman really knew enough at this point to really pray that prayer. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to her. The Bible says that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us. When we didn't have any desire for Him, He came to us. That's the seeking Savior. He spoke of water. He spoke of a way. People need a way out of their problems. People need a way into meaningful life. And Jesus said, "I am the way." And He was going to show this woman, by His words, how to find Him as her Savior. And so He said, for example, He spoke of the water of life and how everyone who drinks this water, speaking of the physical water, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Now, maybe she said it in kind of a conversational, she didn't know what else to say, so, you know, she kind of made a joke out of it. Well, it's possible. I'm tired of coming to this well every day. Now, that was hard work for women, incidentally. It seemed to be the women had that job. You've seen them, you know, carrying the water pots on their head. I think they actually did that. I don't know how. I'd hate to do that. I'd hate to have to draw water like that every day. We were spoiled by turning the faucet and having the water come on, aren't we? So maybe she said that in kind of a light way. But Jesus, of course, had a far deeper meaning. He wanted to satisfy her thirst. And then there was worship. She asked Him about where was the proper place of worship. Now, that's a little like today, someone saying, "Well, you know, I hear that you're a Baptist," or whatever you happen to be. "Well, what's the difference between you and say, another denomination?" Well, I'm not sure that this woman just didn't, again, she didn't know what to say. So she brought up something that was kind of controversial. But it really spoke, again, of the need of her heart for that place of worship. That secret place. The Bible says that there is a secret place where God wants to meet with us as friend with friend. And she needed that in her life. That was missing. There was a God-shaped vacuum in her life that she had tried to fill with all of the husbands that she had been through and trying to find meaning, but through pleasure and through all of the things that people in this tend to seek in this life. But Jesus said, "I that speak unto you am He." She said, "I perceive that you are a prophet." And He said, she went on and talked about the prophecies of one who would come, be the Messiah. And Jesus said, "I who speak to you am He." If you've not found out that Jesus is the only one who can satisfy, then you're going to go through life, as this woman did, with a thirsty heart and a thirsty soul. And you're going to pass into eternity to a terrible place where the Bible says that the thirst is never quenched. Come to Jesus today, as this woman did. But we can learn from His walk, His word. We can also learn from this seeker's work. There was an invitation, first of all, in verse 7. Now, Jesus did say, "My Father works all the time, and I also work." Jesus said also, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work." And He spoke of the time that He would no longer have opportunity on this earth to do His Father's will. And you know that that's true in your life. You know it, but I think it's human nature to want to ignore that. The frailty of life. The temporary nature of life. thinking that we're going to be here forever when we know that we're not. And when we're young, of course, we feel immortal. And then we go into middle age and we still think we got time. But then later in life, we look back and we wonder where the years went. Everyone has that experience. That's human, the human experience. And that's why we need to listen carefully to what Jesus says here about His work. There's an invitation here. Give me to drink, He said. And there are many invitations in the Bible, but here's one that maybe we haven't thought of as an invitation. But Jesus wants us to do something for Him. Isn't that an awesome thought? That Jesus wants us to do something for Him. I think because Jesus finds pleasure in that. When we respond, when we spend time with Him and we worship Him, that's what Jesus wanted in this woman's life because He knew that she needed that. And I'm not sure that Jesus needs it, but He wants it. He finds pleasure in fellowship with His creatures. And then there's an explanation. Jesus took time to talk with this Samaritan woman, didn't He? I mean, have you ever known someone who just wouldn't even give you the time of day? And maybe there's times that you feel like that. Well, you know, I just don't have time. I don't have time to sit and talk. Well, here Jesus took the time. He was the Son of God. He was the most important person in the universe. In fact, He was the creator of all things. If we believe the Bible says through Him all things were created. And yet He found time to talk to this rather wayward woman, we would call her. There was an explanation. Christian people today often fail at this point. We don't take time or make time to take time to be available to people to answer their questions and share with them the answer to their deepest need. May God give us the heart to be like Jesus and to be ready to listen. You know, God gave us two ears, didn't He? But most of us only have one mouth. Some seem to have more than one, but I think it means that we should listen probably twice as much as we should talk. There was an explanation. There was a satisfaction, obviously. I love what it says in Isaiah 58, verse 10. The Word of God says, if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light rise in obscurity and your darkness be as the noonday. May God help us to be like Jesus, to be like this seeking Savior. May we go into our week ahead with the prayer, Lord, use me to win a soul to You this week, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then this is the moment that God is speaking to you through Jesus, through His Word, through this example of this Samaritan woman. You are like that Samaritan woman. But you need to let Jesus into your heart. Otherwise, you'll never experience that satisfaction that she experienced.
Please stand. You didn't read that.